Revelation. As we consider that this morning, great book of the book of Revelation, let me just give you just a few historical facts I'm sure you're aware of, but there's just a little bit about this great book. Of course, we know who the author is. The author is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Of course, we know the writer of this great book, the book of Revelation, is the Apostle John under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Bible also says that this prophecy came not in old times by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's inspiration. The time of this writing of the great book of the Revelation happened somewhere in the neighborhood of A.D. 96. The location of the writing of this great book was on the island called Patmos, while John was persecuted for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the reason for the writing of this great book, first of all, was to glorify God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that the children of God could see what is to come and what should be hereafter. When we think about the book of Revelation, there are three divisions: things past, things present, and things future. I'd like to bring a message this morning from Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. And the title of the message is just this: Heaven. Who won't be there? I didn't say who wants to be there. I said who won't be there. You know, throughout the Bible tells us and gives us great challenge throughout His Word. Brother Ron used this verse this morning in Sunday school. As King Saul wrote these words in the book of Proverbs when he said, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end ways thereof are the ways of death." There are a lot of ways out there that men think that's the right way. But folks, when it comes to getting to heaven, there's only one way. Of course, we know that. And as the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter number 7, when the Lord Jesus says there, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. For strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So as we think this morning, heaven, who won't be there? If you will, stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. I'll begin reading and just read the one verse for time's sake, verse number 8. The Bible said, Revelation 21 verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Father, we ask Your blessing now upon Your Word. May it be what You want it for us today. Use it for Your glory. We know it'll not return void, but it'll accomplish that which You please. For we ask all these things in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we reflect on Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22, if we were to read both of those chapters in their entirety, you would find there that the Lord is painting a picture. He's painting a picture of what heaven is like. Now realize this: if we took the time to expound on the beauties and the glories of heaven, and it's going to be a wonderful place, and we know that. We know that from our time studying and messages and lessons that have been taught over the years on the beauty and the splendor of heaven. We know it's going to be a marvelous place. But have you ever wondered who and who will not be in that glorious place that we call heaven? Have you ever thought about that? I remember a statement back many years ago that Dr. Bob Jones Jr. made when he said this. He said, one of these days when those of us that are saved and we wind up in heaven and all God calls all of the saints home and we're all there, He said one of these days we'll be surprised at who we see, and we may even be surprised at who we don't see. Will we be surprised? Who won't be in heaven? When we think about that, who won't be in heaven? Do you realize this morning the good won't be in heaven? The good. Of course, we know the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth, no, not one. The good won't be there. Why? Because they don't need God. The bad won't be there because they don't want God. The atheist won't be there because they don't believe God. Now in our text, the Bible lists 8 different types of people that won't be there. Listen to these. He said, first of all, the fearful won't be there. Now when he talks about fearful, he's talking about those that their whole mind, their whole focus is on pleasing man. In other words, they have a fear of man. Did not Solomon write in the book of Proverbs chapter 25, I believe it is, in about verse 25 when he says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. It's sad to say that our society and our world, most people today and many that call themselves Christian are more concerned about what man says and what man believes about them than what God says and what God believes about you. In other words, they fear man more than they fear God. The Bible reminds us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That's why the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 10 in about verse 32 there when he said that we're not to fear man, which is able to kill the body, but rather we are to fear God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So we find here, he says the fearful won't be there. Second of all, he says the unbelieving won't be there. In other words, those that do not have faith or those that do not have a trust and a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize if you plan on going to heaven, you've got to be a believer? You've got to be a believer. You've got to believe that Jesus died for your sins according to the Scripture. You've got to believe that He was buried. And you've got to believe that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture. Those things are not optional. But those that do not believe that will not be in heaven. Then he says the abominable. When he uses that word, and there are a number of things that the Bible calls abomination. Of course, we know that same-sex marriage today, the Bible calls it an abomination. Now realize to those that are here today and those who may be watching, sad to say there are a lot of churches, there are a lot of ministries, there are a lot of denominations voting on whether or not it's right or wrong. Folks, we don't have to vote on whether homosexuality or transgenderism or any of those other things out there are right or wrong, because we have God's Word that says it's wrong and that is an abomination. The Bible said the abominable won't be there. That means the perverse. The perverse. The unnatural. And that's what God calls unnatural. Then he says the murderer. Here's another category of people that will not be in heaven one day. The murderer. We think about that. That means the one that takes a life unlawfully. That takes someone else's life. Think about today when we consider abortion. Now, from a Christian perspective, we believe and we hold to the position that life begins at conception. So someone that takes the life of an unborn baby is what? A murderer.
Amen.
A murderer. And I believe that would hold true to the doctor, to the nurses, to anybody that is involved in that. But I also believe that the mother will be held accountable to God one day who murders their own baby through abortion. The Bible said the murderer will not be in heaven. Now get this. The whoremonger will not be in heaven. The whoremonger just simply describes one who is unfaithful in marriage. One who is unfaithful in marriage. One who is immoral in their belief. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4, the Bible says that marriage is honorable in all things, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In other words, there's a day of accountability when that one that breaks their marriage vow or does not fulfill that marriage vow or that lives unfaithful to their spouse or lives an immoral lifestyle will stand before God. But the Bible says that one will not be in heaven. But he also talks about sorcerers. Sorcerers just describes those that are involved in spiritism, demon worship, the occult, the New Age philosophy of man. That's what he's talking about. In other words, others could describe witchcraft and a lot of other things that are involved in sorcery. Hey, folks, there are not going to be any witches in heaven. I assure you that. There's not going to be anybody that's involved in the occult today. That's why you need to, hey, you don't need to dabble with it. You don't need to play around with it in our life. Do you realize there are Christians out there that do things like that for fun? Folks, you don't play with the devil's stuff. You don't tamper with something that's that way. We have to guard ourselves against these things and protect ourselves. But there are a lot of people today, a lot of young people today that are involved in some things like that. Then we find there the seventh category of people is idolaters. Idolaters won't be there. And of course, we know what an idolater is. One who worships something other than God. Right? And of course, we know that an idol, as Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, an idol can be anything. I could make that tripod an idol. We've got a tripod here holding our phone here that's doing our live stream. I could make an idol out of that tripod and I could worship that tripod. That tripod could become my God. It could be anything. I could take a berry off of this artificial plant right here, and I could worship that berry right there. You say, preacher, that sounds kind of crazy. It does. But what I'm saying is anything can become an idol. A building. I've used this illustration before. The first church that I pastored, I loved every one of them there. But I shared with you that they had an idol in the church. We got rid of that idol. And that idol was a fish tank that had a bunch of prayers that people had thrown over in the fish tank and that had been in there for years and years and years, and it was about that deep in dust. When we first went there, we tried to decorate it, right, Miss Donna? Donna decorated it up. Cleaned it up a little bit and put a bow on it, made it look a little bit nicer, you know. But you know what? You can't clean up idolatry. You know what we finally did? Out goes the fish tank with all those dead prayers in there that people weren't praying anymore. We got rid of them. You know what was the second thing that we got rid of? Was that numbers board that was on there. Everybody'd look at and they'd find out how many brought their Bible and how many did this and how many was in Sunday school and how much offering was given. And everybody, boy, they thought, man, we got rid of it. Things like that can become idols. But the Bible says the idolaters won't be there. They won't be in heaven. Then last of all, he said liars. Liars won't be in heaven. Now get this. I've heard people say that you'd go to hell for lying. You won't go to hell for lying. But I will tell you this. There are going to be liars in hell, but there won't be any liars in heaven. No liars in heaven. Look what the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Just reiterates what the text that we already said, that who won't be there? The fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderer, whoremonger, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, they won't be there. Now turn with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here we see another category, another list. You know, the Bible is full of lists, are they not? But here the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verses 9 and 10, he lists 10 groups of people that will not be in heaven. Notice what he begins in verse number 1. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. 10 of them. First one is fornicators. Fornicators won't be in heaven. That means those that are involved in sexual immorality. You don't have to be a young person to be involved in sexual immorality. Do you realize that? You can be of any age and be involved in sexual immorality. Those fornicators, the Bible said, will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't be there. Idolaters won't be there. Adulterers won't be there. An adulterer, again, is much like the whoremonger. It means that they are unfaithful in marriage. They're not true to their marriage vows. Now, we've got a couple in here that's fixing to be united in the bonds of what we call holy matrimony. That day is approaching very quickly. November the 5th will be that special day for this couple. And when I stand up there and I read those vows and they repeat it, they better know, as we've talked about it on a number of occasions when we've met together, they better take those vows seriously. Right? Because God will hold them accountable for it. Adulterers. Then he lists the category of effeminates. What is this? Something that we see today. Effeminate. You know what that means? That means sissy boys and masculine women. That's what that's referring to. In other words, a group of people that you don't know who they are or what they are. Do we not see that today in our society? The Bible says that group of people won't be there. They will not be in heaven. I'm not preaching the preacher's philosophy or my philosophy. I'm preaching the Bible today. I'm trying to explain to those of you here, and so that you and I can get a clear picture of who's going to be in heaven and who won't be in heaven, and those that may be watching or listening to this sermon down the road, I want them to get a clear picture of what the Bible said, who's going to be there in heaven and who will not be there in heaven. That's just the opposite, is it not? When we got sissy boys and we got masculine girls. Now I realize you've got tomboys, right? Little girls that enjoy playing baseball and softball and all those, you know, doing some of those things. But God made little boys to be little boys and little girls to be little girls. As I've said here recently, I know there's a battle in a lot of states that's going on right now trying to clear up and trying to change one's birth certificate. As we've said many times before, the Bible said God made male and female. And the male will always be a male, and the female will always be a female. It doesn't matter how many surgeries you have or whatever, if your birth certificate's changed or not. But the Bible says the effeminate won't be there. The abusers of themselves with mankind won't be there. That refers to homosexual, sodomy, unnatural sexual behavior. But he also goes on to say that thieves won't be there. Somebody that takes something dishonestly, that's what a thief is. You ever taken anything dishonestly? You're a thief. What about covetous? The covetous won't be there. Have you ever coveted somebody else's, something that somebody else has? You know, that's the last commandment. That's the 10th commandment in the book of Exodus chapter 20, that we're not to covet our neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. That just means to have a desire to have what somebody else has. Have you ever looked at something that somebody else had and said, boy, I wished I had that. Boy, I like that new shotgun. I wish I had that. Or maybe you had the mindset, he don't deserve that or she don't deserve that. That ought to be mine. That's covetousness. The Bible said the covetous won't be there. He said the drunkards won't be there. Drunkards. Somebody that is controlled by alcoholic beverages. The Bible said they won't be there. The revilers, the extortioners, he said they won't be there. In category wise here, we have one that is a spiritual sin, that's idolatry. We have one that is a verbal sin, that is revilers. Ones that argue and complain and use their tongue as a sharp sword. There's one that is a food sin, that is drunkenness. There are four that are sexual sins. Fornication, adultery, effeminate, and abusers of themselves with mankind. There is one gender sin, that is being effeminate. And there are three financial sins that deal with money and thievery and all of that, desire to have. That's thieves, covetous, and extortioners. So he lists those that says that won't be there. As we move on down, I want us to think and to consider on this particular thought now. I want us to think this morning on the things that will keep a person out of heaven. If you're saved, you're going. Now realize this. I'm not preaching the wrong philosophy of once saved, always saved, and I'm not preaching or giving you or me or anybody else a license to sin. David broke most every rule here that we've talked about, King David. But yet David was a man after God's own heart, but God chastened David. He corrected David. But things today that will keep a person out of heaven. What are they? Let me say, first of all, your religion will keep you out of heaven. Some would say, well, preacher, I thought religion is what helps us get to heaven. I'm going to tell you, your religion is rotten. Your religion is what Brother Ron was teaching of this morning about the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites, which cleaned up the outside of the cup and platter when within they were full of extortion and excess. When they painted their whited sepulchres and their gravesides and they appeared righteous before men, but he said, within you're full of dead men's bones. That's religion. Did not Jesus teach in the Sermon on the Mount when he made this statement? When he said, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And the Lord says, then will I profess unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Let me say, your religion Your religion will keep you out of heaven. Religion. If that's what you're basing your eternal security and your salvation on, is your religion. Your religion is not going to get you into heaven. It'll make you a place in hell, but it won't assure you a place in heaven. When we think about the story of a man named Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Here's a man that was religious, very religious. He was a ruler of the Jews. The Bible said that that same man came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Man, he had every credential that religion offers out there. But Jesus looked at this man Nicodemus and told him, said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he shall not, what? He shall not see the kingdom of God. In other words, he won't see heaven. You can be a church member. You can be a tithing church member. You can be a mission supporting church member. You can be a baptized church member. You can be a morally upright church member. You can be a good citizen church member. You can be any of the and all of that. But your religion, if you're not careful, will keep you out of heaven. Pure religion, the Bible says, and undefiled is this, that we visit the fatherless and the widows, and we keep ourselves unspotted by the world. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, and having a form of godliness, but what? Denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let me say, first of all, your religion will keep you out of heaven. Second thing will keep you out of heaven is your hypocrisy, which is very closely related. Hypocrisy is one who pretends to be something that they are not, a counterfeit. As Brother Ron talked about it this morning in Sunday school, they're an actor. They play a part that is not genuine, that is not real. One that puts on airs, one that dresses up, but is not what they really are. That's what a hypocrite is. Was not Judas Iscariot? What was Judas Iscariot? He was a hypocrite. He was so good at what he did. Not only did he deceive everybody around him, he deceived the very elect of God, the apostles of the Lord Jesus. You remember the night at the great supper, the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus foretold, hey, he said, have not I chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil? Man, that got their minds stirring, didn't it? What if I were to tell you, say, Lighthouse Baptist Church, we got a devil in this church right here. Y'all can laugh. That's supposed to be a joke. What if I were to say, hey, we got a devil at Lighthouse Baptist Church? First one, I wonder if a preacher's talking about me. How many of you feel that way? Don't raise your hand. How many of you feel that way? Well, that's the same way the way the apostles did. They began to ask, Lord, is it I? Is it me, Lord? And then the Lord exposed him. Exposed the true hypocrite. But he was so good at what he was doing. We've got a lot of people like that in our churches today. They fooled every one of us. But I'm going to tell you, there's one that cannot be fooled, and that is the Lord. He knows our hypocrisy. As was stated by Dr. Bob Jr. years ago, that Judas was the only man that kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. He was close, but he didn't make it in. There are going to be a lot of people that are close, but never get in because of their hypocrisy. There's a third thing that'll keep people out of heaven, and that's denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ or the incarnation. I realize believing the gospel message is a prerequisite for salvation, believing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But along with that, there are a lot of other cardinal doctrines that a person has to believe to genuinely be saved. And one of those is the deity of Christ, to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that He is God incarnate in the flesh. Do you realize the Mormons today, whom we deem a cult, they believe in Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. Do you know the Jehovah's Witness, who we also believe is a cult today? I know Mormons. I know Jehovah's Witness. I know Catholics today. Just like Brother Ron was talking about Catholicism. They all believe in Jesus, but they do not believe in the Jesus of the Bible. They do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, that He is God. Folks, Jesus is 100% God. And if you don't do that, the Bible said you will die in your sin. John 8:24, Jesus said, therefore, unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ will keep you out of heaven. I believe this holds true not only with the deity of Christ, but as I said a moment ago, all the cardinal doctrines of the Bible, the virgin birth, the death, burial, and the resurrection, the blood of Jesus Christ, the atonement of Christ. If you don't believe these things, folks, you'll die in your sin. You'll die lost. You'll never get to heaven. You can believe in Jesus all day long. There are men, even the Bible said in James 2:19, that the devils believe and tremble. They believe in Jesus. There's a fourth thing that'll keep you out of heaven. That is what is referred to as the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin. That's when, according to Matthew chapter 12, when one blasphemes the Holy Ghost of God. Got any idea what the word blasphemy means? Blasphemy is an insult that shows contempt, disrespect, or a lack of reverence for. In this case, it is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God that is in question. It means to attribute the work of the Holy Ghost to the devil or to Satan. That's what they were doing in Matthew chapter 12. They were saying that the work that Jesus Christ was doing, they attribute it to the work of Beelzebub, the devil. You know, when you deny the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, you can't be saved. You realize one of the great essentials of salvation is the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. You can't get saved without the Holy Spirit's part in our salvation. The Bible tells us there in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, and get this, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit of God. Renewing. That is the work. Do you know if we deny the work of the Holy Spirit of God, we have condemned our soul? That's why the Bible calls it an unpardonable sin. Because when you deny the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, what you have done is you have sealed your fate. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 says this, that if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, when we deny the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives for salvation, what we have done, hey, there's no other way. It's not by our works of righteousness. It's through the working and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we've denied that, we have condemned our soul. You'll never get to heaven. You'll never see the kingdom of God. There's a fifth thing that'll keep people out of heaven, and that's sin. Sin. Sin will keep you out of heaven. I listed all these various sins here that we could look at. Idolatry. Look at fornication. Idolatry, adulterers, effeminates, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, all these, just like fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murder, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolatry, and all liars. Those are sins. Sin will keep you out of heaven. Not one particular sin, but your love of sin. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, He says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." In the next several verses, He talks about coming to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. But He also says there that men love darkness, that is sin, rather than light. Why? Because their deeds, their heart is evil. You know why people don't get saved? Because they love their sin more than they do their soul. They love their sin more than they do their soul. We had a young lady back several years ago that made this comment. She made a profession of faith right here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Some that were here at that time may remember the young lady that came and did that. She was living with a man outside of wedlock. Donna counseled with this girl after her profession of faith and her exactly what it was, a profession of faith. But Donna counseled with her about that lifestyle that she was living and that she needed to come out of that type of lifestyle, make it right, settle it, get married, do something, but you couldn't live in that because to do so was living in sin. And she said this, she said, "I had rather live in sin than I had to lose what I've got." Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds, their heart is evil. Folks, sin, people's love of sin will keep you out of heaven because it'll keep you from accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And folks, I'm going to tell you, you can't be saved. I'm not saying that we that are saved are sinless, because we're not. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We're going to sin till the day I die, till the day we die. That is the old nature that we are plagued with until the Lord changes us completely and totally one day. We're going to battle with it. That's why He said that we wrestle not, you know, with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and things present and things to come. All these things we battle. We have to crucify the flesh, the Bible said, with the affections and the lust. But people that love sin more than they do light, won't be there. Sixth thing that'll keep you out of heaven, your rejection of Jesus Christ. An outright rejection of Jesus Christ. The invitation that the Lord gave was to come. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, yet they shall be as wool. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But your rejection of Jesus Christ will keep you out of heaven. Matthew chapter 9 tells the story of the rich young ruler who came into to the Lord and said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" That is the question of man today. What have I got to do to be saved? Jesus told him. And Jesus wasn't telling him to go work for your salvation. And he wasn't condoning the keeping of the commandments in conjunction with salvation, because no man is justified by the deeds of the law, the Bible said. You can keep every law, 1 through 10. But you know what? We're still going to come short of the glory of God. This rich young ruler said, "All these commandments have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said, "If thou will be perfect, go sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven." And the Bible said that he went away sorrowful because he had great possession. He chose his treasures over than the Lord himself. What did he do? He rejected God's great gift of salvation. And when you do that, folks, you'll never see the kingdom of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." John 1, 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Let me say, your love for the world and possessions will keep you out of heaven. "For what shall it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul?" Hell is full of people that loved the things of this world more than they did Jesus. We're talking about who won't be in heaven. The seventh thing that'll keep you out of heaven is procrastination. Procrastination. Procrastination means to postpone, to delay, to put off until another time. We've got illustration after illustration of this throughout the Bible. In Acts chapter 24, we find Governor Felix here. Paul preaching a very powerful message. The Bible said that he reasoned with him of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In other words, we could say in some sense that this was a very scathing type message, was it not? Kind of like Stephen did in Acts chapter 7. I'm going to tell you, Paul laid it on the line that day for Felix. You know what Felix said? Felix's heart was stirred. Felix's heart was under conviction. As I've known of many people over the years, and I've sat there and I've watched their face and I've watched their expression and I've watched their body movement, I knew that God was arresting their soul and that they were under conviction, Holy Ghost conviction. And they knew that they needed to make a move for God. But what did they do? They postponed it. Just like Felix. Felix said to Paul, he said, "Paul, go your way. I'll send for you at a more convenient season." You know what that is? That's procrastination. Think about the people that won't be in heaven because of procrastination, that had good intentions of being saved. Let me ask you, and I don't want a show of hands, but how many of you ever known anybody that had good intentions that they were going to be saved one day? I heard this statement many years ago, don't remember who I heard it from, but how true it is, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. There are a lot of people. I've shared stories with you here at Lighthouse Baptist Church of people in my prior ministries and other locations that I knew that sat there that looked at me and told me, "Preacher, I'm going to get saved one day." And had good intentions and were very sincere and very persuasive in what they were saying. And then turned around sometime later and preached their funeral knowing that they never trusted Christ as their Savior. Procrastination. It'll keep you out of heaven. It is the thief of time and the grave of opportunity. That's what procrastination is. Do we not like to put things off till another time? We're not promised tomorrow. That's why the Lord says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We don't know what tomorrow may hold. But boy, how we like to procrastinate, right? Think about those that won't be in heaven because of procrastination. Seven things that'll keep you out of heaven: your religion, hypocrisy, denying the deity of Christ, the unpardonable sin, your rejection of Jesus Christ, and procrastination. You know what the one thing is that will keep you out of hell? It's Jesus. The one thing and the only thing that will keep you out of hell is Jesus. Because He's the only way. Jesus declared in John 14:6, "I am the way." Not many. The world, religion, society's philosophy, that all roads lead to heaven. I think it was Miss Oprah Winfrey, if I said her name correctly, that made the statement, "Ultimately all roads lead to heaven and God." Miss Winfrey, if you're watching today, and really it's no laughing matter, if you're watching today, you are vaguely wrong. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the only way, the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." The one thing that will keep you out of hell is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You want to know who's going to be in heaven? Only the saved. Those that have been redeemed, those that have been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, those are the ones that will be there. But of course, as we quoted earlier, Bible talks about that wide gate and broad way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. As I look out across our land and across our world, across the country, and I look into the church and denominations and all of this, over and over and over I get, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more I agree with many of the great men who walked and preached years before I did that made the comment. He said, "The closer I get to the coming of Jesus, the more I truly believe that there are fewer and fewer that are truly saved." Folks, this is not a message to get you to doubt your salvation at all. This is a message just to clearly be able to see who won't be in heaven. And the Bible's very clear about that. And the only thing that'll keep you out of hell, and that's Jesus. Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Brother Sean's coming with a song of invitation. Heavenly Father, bless this time that we have, Lord, as we have opportunity now to respond to the things that have been said and delivered here today. Your word has gone forth. We know it will not accomplish, or it will accomplish that which you please. Lord, we pray, may we see the good out of it. Lord, use it, dear God, for your glory. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.